So yesterday we talked about assessments and any aha moments about the assessment piece and doing those lab tests and figuring out what minerals people need. And anybody have any questions, burning questions or shares about that? Aha moments like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that or anything. Okay.
I have a question about the pH strip testing. Mm-hmm. Would you do that on a daily basis the way you did it, or is it just once in a while?
I would say once in a while. So it depends on what shows up. So say it's minerals that show up that, wow, this person's really lacking minerals. So you put them on minerals for a while, and it's going to take that. So I would probably do it 3 weeks to a month again.
Okay, so if they go up to an 8, you know right away they're mineral deficient.
Mineral depleted and probably a lot of stress because their body's used to just quickly going into emergency buffer mode.
And didn't the woman who you tested yesterday, didn't she first come up really nice on the scale, like 7 to begin with?
She was 7 perfectly to begin with, okay. Which is why just testing their pH to begin with, you're challenging it. When she was challenged with the lemon, at a minute, she should have still been acidic. And it's usually after the minute that it starts to go up. But she had, remember, half of her thing was acidic and the other half was alkaline, which said that she was in a little bit of a sympathetic hypervigilant. And again, it might be because she's standing on stage spitting in front of an audience.
Okay.
But on the other hand, while I watched it go up, I was like, I think she is hypervigilant because she kept going up a little bit higher. But she was perfect at the end. We didn't go all the way to the end, but it seemed like she was going to be perfect at the end. So it didn't seem so much like she had a mineral issue because she really came back to that 7 easily.
So it's after testing it 5 times, isn't it 5 different
times?
Yeah,
and there's a graph in there that it should follow. And when we go through it in real detail in the program, we'll go through like what the different the different patterns, because there's like 5 different patterns it could be.
Okay.
And somebody said, well, what if nothing happens? That's an ominous situation. That's a person who is just like, they're flat, they're depleted, their adrenals are probably burned out, their minerals are depleted. They need lots of help. And it's a great tool. These little things that you can do with people are great tools to give them feedback, not only as to where they are, because they may be saying, I don't want to spend money to coach with you. I don't want to spend money to coach with you because it's just going to cost too much. And like, I'm not that sick. And then you show them, well, this is what this means. Like, you're completely depleted in minerals. And do you know what that means? And if you could say, that means that your adrenals aren't going to work right, your thyroid isn't going to work right, your sex drive is going to be out of here, your skin can't repair, you just can go on because you understand the implications of lack of minerals, right? And so you get that going, and then you say, look, we'll do this, we'll retest you in a month. And you go, wow, you're doing great. And, it's not going up. We need to look at some other things. Maybe there's a hidden source of infection. Maybe your stomach acid isn't working and you're not absorbing your minerals. So you can be going through your kind of inventory in your brain of the different things it might be and say to them, well, I don't know, I guess I can't help you. Or you just mustn't be doing it right, which is what a lot of people want to. Well, you just mustn't be doing it right because my stuff works. Well, no, it may work for some people and not for others, and you have to adapt it. So it just gives you a great tool. And it's simple and cheap and, right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Any other questions about any of that stuff, the assessments we did yesterday? There's a couple more. There's the glucose, because there's a chart in there, and then I wanted to show you those adrenal labs to show you, like, wow, this one little $150 test gives you so much information about what's going on with them, and anybody could do it because it's a spit test. You don't have to draw blood or anything like that. Yeah, so we'll go through that. And then with the thyroid, I didn't go through it in detail because I have one packet that has all the thyroid assessment stuff and then the protocols, and that's what we'll do right after we finish the assessments. But did you?
I was just browsing through, and you have a hormone elixir type of, guidelines in there. But then I didn't notice, how long do you put someone on? I know it's kind of variable. Do you just, you know, if you say, hey, do this elixir for, thyroid or adrenals or whatever.
Yeah, you're watching, right? You're just saying, okay, we did this thyroid test or this adrenal test, and this was out of balance, and let's do this for for a while and you'll say, let's do it every day or every, you know, 5 days a week if you can, and let's just watch. And there's other things you might be doing with that. You might be supplying some B vitamins and getting them on the greens, and there's all kinds of other stuff you'd be doing with that. But yeah, I mean, some people see results. Like, her hair grew back in a month. She had this stringy hair, and now it's like big and thick. And after she told me that, I'm like, in a month? Holy cow. I was floored. And then I got on a call. You were on that call. I got a call with three other people in my semi-private group coaching program, and one person said, oh, I'm so happy. I started those elixirs a month ago, and my hair's not falling out in clumps. And you had that experience, too. It's not falling out in clumps anymore, right? So it's all going to be variable. So you're just kind of monitoring.
So they can kind of stop once they see the difference.
Well, I'd say they go on. It's great to just keep doing it as a maintenance dose. Maybe they don't do it quite as often or as religiously. Like, I do them as often as I remember. But if I'm feeling like, oh, I didn't sleep last night, I'm going to do one of my elixirs and get myself going. And that's how you could have them. I want to get people to the point where they can self-regulate. Because really, you don't want a client for life. You want to get them, it may take you a year, 2 years, whatever, depending on how long they've been there, to get them to be self-reliant and to be able to use their tools and to feel like I didn't sleep last night, I better support my adrenals today, right? So you teach them how to be self-reliant, and you'll have the tools to do that.
Okay. Yeah. And for clients who don't live in an area, because I have some clients who are pretty remote, and they're like, I can't get to the store to get those herbs. Do you have like a good website
online
that you use?
Online,
but
yeah.
Do you have one that you'd recommend?
Oh, I like Mountain Rose Herbs. They're okay. Really awesome. They're family run. They're really quality. Yeah. Yeah, most people don't. I don't buy anything locally. I don't trust it locally. I just go to the source where I like it and go for it. And Roxanne had a question.
No, I don't like the mic. The practice where I work, we have seen in the last 4 to 6 months that there's been almost thyroid issues that have doubled. I mean, you know, the thyroid issues and adrenals have always been an issue in the last 10 years, but it's actually almost doubled in what we've seen in our practice.
Yeah.
And the big theory that we're coming to is because of all the radiation. And so, I mean, online, I mean, there's so much talk now about Fukushima and everything that's happening. And I actually have a lot of patients that are actually calling us for protocols and what can we do? How can we measure it? And I'm just doing so much research, and I already have like 2 or 3 protocols on, you know, helping release, you know, radiation. And so I'm just wondering, I don't know if you've actually addressed that, because I actually missed the first half day, so I'm not sure. I don't want to be
A good question, because we'll talk about that more when we get to the thyroid protocol, because,
perfect.
Yeah, that's serious. And there's so many iodine antagonists, and iodine, we've talked about several times, is the core of the thyroid, tyrosine and iodine, right? And if we have radioactive iodine, and it binds to the tyrosine and creates a quote-unquote thyroid hormone, whew, it's totally inactive. And so your tests will look normal because isn't going to differentiate between an iodine that's radioactive mixed with the tyrosine and one that's real. And then people are going, well, the thyroid's normal, but this isn't happening. So I actually recommend people get an iodine load test, because what happens is when you take larger amounts of real iodine, it displaces the radioactive, and it displaces the antagonists like bromine, chlorine, and fluoride. Who thinks we have exposure to bromine, fluoride, and chloride in our environment, right? It's all over the place. So big thing, the first thing you do with somebody, you get them off the tap water and onto purified water. You're helping their thyroid right then and there. And if they're doing the air fresheners and all this other stuff that people do, I'm shocked. I'm like walking up to my sister's house and they're like, what are you doing? I don't want to be around that stuff. I don't want to breathe that stuff in. And it's all these things. It's not just the iodine, fluoride, and the radioactive and all that. It's the chemicals in the environment. We're polluting the environment. Just, you know, the carpeting and the outgassing, the paints, the wallboards. It's all antagonizing. That's why thyroid's an epidemic. It's toxic. We're toxic. How do you get rid of that? How do you help them with that? Yeah, and the iodine load test is one thing that you can do. And you could see where they're at, and sometimes you have to put them on really massive doses of iodine for a while But you have to also be careful because you can displace the bromine, and we have protocols for that. Yeah, because if they do that and they start to detox too quickly, the brain is going to get affected, right? Yeah, good question. Great questions. Anybody else? Before we... Okay, come around.
I would love to say what I particularly like about this is not only the ability to give me confidence to help people that have come to me and say, what can I do, what can I do? There's just a plethora and a wealth of information from various sources to help me out. But what I really like is we're working in a complementary way with Western medicine. Like you, I'm not opposed to it, but if it's not working, it may be because the person isn't asking the right questions or telling the physician, because they're seeing you in a snapshot.
Exactly.
And it's not always the physician's fault. I mean, sometimes it is, but I'm just saying, but if you come armed with information, and this gives people a lot of information. It could be, and that could be all the help they need. But I like that we can go from just doing that to empowering them and giving them the intuition, or helping them to tap into
and
intuition.
Helping them to tap
so
in.
It gives me a full toolbox. So yeah. I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And that's true. What you said is that people need the information. Some of them need hand-holding and coaching for the compliance piece. Like Donna said yesterday, I knew what to do, but I'm not doing it. Donna said, well, I didn't know what the hell to do, because I kept going and asking people, what do I do? How do I do this? And nobody had an answer for her. And once she knew, she was so firmly attuned to that outcome. Same thing I would say about Amaret. She is so attuned to what she wants. She's 23 years old, by the way. Thank you very much. 25, okay, 25 years old. And she's like, I know what I want, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. Okay? Not waiting till, oh, wait, oh, I'm 35 and I have, you know. No, I want to do this. And when she decides on what that outcome's going to be, she goes for it. And she knows she wants to be out of that career that's not serving her. And she wants to be helping people. And she knows she can, and she's going to do whatever it takes. She did the same thing with her health, because a year ago, can I share that? A year ago, we had the energy recharge program that we offered for people to get charge of their own health, and we had different levels of investment, and the $25,000 level was that high end. It don't take very many people at that level, but the middle level, which I called the gold level, was about, what, $6,000-ish? Something like that, yeah. But she so was committed to getting her health together that she committed there, because she knew she didn't just want to be in the group level, and they have lots of access to me, but it's not the same, and she gets on small group calls. Sometimes there's only two or three of us on there, and we have really give in. So I know her. Like, yeah, I know her health history, and I know her challenges, and I know her struggles. And that will be you. I know everyone. I know Beverly. I know where Ghislaine is. I know where they all are at, and I know how I can help each one individually. Right? And that's, you know, you want to learn, it's a skill you want to learn how to do, but I'm saying in your situation where you're at, you may like, yes, that's what I want my practice to be like. I have no idea how to get there. Okay, let's figure it out. And you're at a different level than someone else. Somebody's struggling. Maybe you're in a situation where I'm in this position and I'm making okay money, but I want to make more, or I have a part-time job. Somebody has a full-time job. Somebody's full-time in this, but it's just like I was a few years ago going, it's just not making ends meet, and how do I get the better results? How do we build the confidence? There's so many things, and we'll go through a model this afternoon of what does it take to be successful at this? It's not just you have to know, if it was just you have to know the chemistry and the physiology, I would have been jumped out of school and said, okay, they're lining up, and I'm going to take care of them and everything. But it's so much more than just knowing that. And that's why I've done what I've done here, is to incorporate all those components, not just the biochemistry and the physiology, but the business piece and the emotional piece. And how many emotional breakthroughs did we have at that retreat for people going, I'm getting out of that relationship? Or, you know, it was a personal thing that was holding them back in their business. And we got at it because we had a retreat, and it was intimate. And yeah, so that's the kind of thing. So anything else? Yeah. Oh, Mary. She's a good example of stepping into the fear and doing it anyway.
Huh? I just, in listening to it, one of the things, back when I started with Before Be God, back in the first one. Anyhow, when I started, the thing, it was expensive. And I thought, shoot. Yeah. you know, what am I going to do?
I'll delete that off the chain.
And it was like, I can't afford this. But I was looking at it, and it was like, I knew what I would do if I didn't go with the VIP. I would get in there. I'd listen to it. I mean, I've watched myself do it and go through this with several things. It's like, it's too much. And I wouldn't have the incentive of having put money into it. And money is a big issue for me. You know, it's like, I want to do it as cheaply as possible. And I signed up that first night and got into it. And that changed my whole life. It really did. You know, I had been taking some healing kitchen. Well, it wasn't healing kitchen at the time, but it was Yorah Food University. Mm-hmm. And I had done some other programs. And I worked that 1 month. But when I put the stuff into it and didn't just blow it off because I had put an investment, it made a difference. Big difference. And I've gone into the recharge practicing, and I'm helping people that I've never known how to help before, mm-hmm. including and especially myself, because it has to start with me. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
It really is important.
So. Mary is a neuroscientist. She has a master's degree in neuroscience, and she'd been, you know, went on to academic stuff, been on disability for all, and money was a big issue, and she invested $2,000, I think it was, right there on the spot on a call, and that was a lot of money for like a, what, 3-month program, right? And when she did that, and then that 3-month program was over, she goes, I want to continue, I need to work on myself, I need to continue, how do I do this? And I said, well, this is what I have. I have a 3-month, this was my model at the time. I have a 3-month coaching program. It's about $3,000. I have a 6-month is $6,000. And she said, well, and if you pay it up, and I gave her some options. And she said, but I want a year. You'll get people that'll do that. But I don't think I can, I need your help. I don't want to see it going away. I don't want to do it a year. Can you give me anything special? I said, okay, $10,000 for a year. And she said, okay. I'll figure out how to get it. And she figured out how to get it. And from there, she said she had transformed herself so much that she was like, I'm helping my friends. I really want to know how to do that. And when we did the other program, the first practitioner program is $5,500. And she said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the money somehow. And she's done it. Right? And it's big. It's a big leap. It's hard. But it pays off. So, anything else before we move on to the other issues of blood sugar balance? Yes, Lynn. I have a list, and we'll go through the lab list, but Hakala Labs are Doctor's Data. I like Hakala better. We have an account with Doctor's Data, and that's who I have on my site. But Hakala Labs for the iodine load test, Hakala, because they send you the load dose of iodine. Hakala, Hakala Labs. And you can just order it. You don't have to be a practitioner. You know you are. But what they do is they give you the dose. You have to take a loading dose of iodine. I'll explain it to you better when we get to thyroid. Anyway, so blood sugar. Who knows what these are? Raise your hand. Who has no clue what these are? Okay. So who's ever tested their own blood sugar? All right. Who's never tested their own blood sugar? Okay. Who has recommended that their clients test their blood sugar? Great. Okay. All my before be gone people and then some. All right. So testing blood sugar, I find, is like the most empowering tool that you can give your clients. Because they go through, well, what should I eat? Should I go on that 80-10-10 diet? Or should I go on the zone diet? Or should I go on this diet? But fruit shouldn't raise my blood sugar. And as long as you eat fruit with nuts, it won't raise your blood sugar. And, you know, pineapple is a medium glycemic food, not a high glycemic food. And grapefruit is a low glycemic food. And what we find when we test the blood sugar is grapefruit can be high glycemic. Grapefruit can be low glycemic. Bananas can be high glycemic or low glycemic. Depends on the person, their physiology, their genetics, their trauma, their stress, how much sleep they've gotten, how much movement they get. It all goes into how their blood sugar is, right? So we create your own. You teach your client how to do their own glucose tolerance test at home instead of paying $300, $500 to go to a doctor's office and then have to drink Coke syrup, you know, glucose syrup, feel lousy for the next 3 days if they do have a blood sugar problem because they're going roller coaster. You do it on, you have them do it on your own, and you've got in your packet how to do that. And it's on page 65. Thank you. You guys are good. 64. Yeah, so 64. I'm going to give you a demo, but the instructions are there for those of you who haven't. In the insulin resistance section of the program, and we've got a video of me poking myself and just exactly showing it. And that's one. Where's Cindy? Do you mind if I share? Where are you? Cindy? Oh, there you are. Do you mind if I share your experience with testing your own blood sugar? Okay. So Cindy is in the Energy Recharge Coaching Program, and she was on a group call we had on all day. What was that, like 5-hour marathon, the one I didn't pee on? Yeah, that was the one. And we were going through everybody's labs, and she got her labs analyzed on this call. And I said, well, you know, testing the blood sugar because her hemoglobin A1C was off and things were off. And I said, she says, oh, I'm scared. I can't do that. No, I'm scared. And we kind of coached her through, and I said, I had Beverly was on the line. And I said, Beverly, would you be willing to call Cindy and just walk her through it? Beverly's a physician's assistant. She's done it a million times. She does it herself. She's very friendly and warm. And Cindy said, great, we'll hook up. So after that, Cindy goes back and she goes, I can do this. I can do this. And she got on and she watched the video and she talked to me the whole time that she's watching me on the video, and she poked her finger and it was very similar to my skydiving. I mean, my hang gliding experience. She goes, oh, that was cool. Oh, that wasn't so bad, right? And I've had people like that, and then they're like, I just went through 100 strips in 2 days because I'm testing every 5 minutes because I want to see exactly what happens. And I know that if I eat and then that was you. It's a tool that you can teach them. Then you're not telling them that food's bad for you. They're going, and then you teach them, which we teach you how to teach them, what all the implications are. What happens physiologically in your body every time your sugar goes above 100? What happens when it goes above 120? Do you know that whenever it goes above 120, you're doing damage to the little peripheral nerves? Do you ever hear of peripheral neuropathy that happens in diabetes? It doesn't start when the glucose goes over 120 and you're officially diagnosed. I mean, your fasting glucose goes over 120. It's starting every time your glucose goes over 120. So if you eat that candy bar and your sugar goes up to 150, but then you're not diabetic, so it comes back down into normal. In 2 hours, it's normal again. They tell you that's normal. That's a bunch of crap. I'm going to just use the crap word like Michaeline. It's total bogus. Right? Because they don't know how to diagnose until it's a disease. We know how to assess and evaluate to see where you are on the continuum and help you to go, instead of going that direction towards diabetes, to go that direction. And you can reverse this stuff. You can reverse this stuff. So you start with learning how to do this. Anybody who hasn't done it before want to come? Oh, she's so good. I love it. Come on up, girl. All right, Isabel. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is change the needle on the lancet, because you don't reuse needles. We take a fresh lancet that has its little condom cap on it, and you take it off, and there you go. And we put it in here, and we're going to take an alcohol wipe. Okay, truth be known, this is not how I test my blood sugar. I don't change the needle very often, and I don't use alcohol wipes. But that's how I do it. When I teach somebody how to do it, you have to use the sanitary. I personally think that all, you know, unless you're dealing in the hospital and AIDS patients and all that, it's not that important. So we're just going to do a quick swipe. Shake it up so it cools off. So then we're going to take, this is a meter. It's called True2Go. You can buy it at Walgreens for $10. And they'll give you a rebate coupon, so that it really costs you zero and you get 10 strips for free. But the thing is, this is like razor blades. The consumables are the expensive part, so they give you away the razor blade and you have to buy the razors. However, if you buy this particular one, there's the I'll show you how this works. is called True Test Strips. And you can go to Walgreens and buy these for about $75 for 100, or you can go on Amazon and get them for somewhere $20 to $25 for 100. Okay? So you basically, the strip has a little chip in there that measures. You stick it in the unit, and you wait for it to, you can't see it, but there's a little, like a little drop, like a drop, blood drop. And you place it down, and then you afraid of needles? Okay, so we just put it on. We don't push hard, but we don't go lightly. There's different settings. Ah, she came right away, okay? And I should have had you do it, because don't turn me in. Okay, now, usually I have the patient do it, so if you're demonstrating it in an office, don't prick their skin. Don't do what I just did. Let them do it. 82, beautiful. That was after breakfast? Yeah, you can wipe it. Yeah, just wipe it down. Yeah, so that's good, and that's her after breakfast, which is good because we have a low glycemic breakfast there, right? We didn't have Cheerios and toast and oatmeal and things like that. Now, oatmeal's controversial. Some people it shoots up and some people it's really steady, but they'll tell you oatmeal's a great food because it's got pectins and soluble fibers and it's going to hold, but it's not true for everybody, right? Blueberries is a low food. I ate blueberries, drank a blueberry smoothie, and my sugar went up to 135. That's not good. So I can't do that. All right, so simple. However, turn to the chart in your book, and it's actually in yesterday's handout section because it was a late breaking, and it's between, did you guys get day threes? Did anybody turn out day threes? Oh, yeah, we're not starting it yet, but there's a day three handout set that we'll do after we do this. Okay, so you have something like this. It's at the end of the day three. There's a page of day two slides, and then it's right after that. Did you guys get that? Yes? So the front section. It's the very front section before the tabs. Yeah. Oh, it's after an orange. Yeah, also everybody's have a different. Some of them are red. Oh, you got two of them. Oh, lucky you. All right. If you go to the very front section and then go past the day one slides, and then the day two has one page of slides, and then it's after that. It's like a right in front of the first cardstock. Thank you. And it looks like this. And I put this together to help people keep track of their glucose. Everybody got it? It's one sheet. Okay. Nice to have. We have an Excel sheet version for people who like to keep track of things online. We also have the printed version. And you basically have someone test their, you put the date at the top in the first column, the time. I have them do it first thing in the morning so we know what their fasting glucose is. They get their fasting glucose, and then if they don't eat right away, then they'll also have the right before eating. So if, say, somebody gets up and they exercise, they do a bunch of stuff before they eat breakfast, then you do it again just to see what those morning activities. Very important, because I had somebody do that, and she tested her blood sugar when she got up, and it was 85, and then she did her stuff, took her supplements, and right before she ate breakfast, she has early morning supplements that she takes, so she took those. She tested right before she ate, and it was up to 110. So I said, oh, there's something in your supplements that's causing your sugar to go up. Now we have to look at it. Well, it turns out there's a lot of our supplements have rice flour in them. And some of the tinctures have alcohol. And alcohol and rice flour have the potential for raising the blood sugar. Now she's my 83-year-old, and she's been very reticent about doing multiple copies. So she just says, I'm just staying off the fruit. And then she changed her diet, and we got her off all the rice flour. So I'm still working on helping her to feel confident. So I hate doing it in the morning. I don't want to do it 8 times a day. To try to help her to just see what other things. But she is eating a very low glycemic diet now and her fasting blood sugar. So we'll know, because we're going to do what's called hemoglobin A1C to see if, now that she's made those changes, if 3 months later. And if it is, the hemoglobin A1C is still higher than it should be, then I'm going to be really supportive and help her, like Cindy, to say, look, you already know how to do it. and let's just do it for a day or two, because you eat very similarly from one day to the other. And if we find those one or two foods that might be shooting it up, even though they're technically low glycemic, then we can give you, you know, some tools that you can change this around. So you basically do that, but this is the important part that nobody will teach you in any medical training or diabetes training or anything. They say do it before they eat, and then do it 2 hours later. And as long as that 2 hours later it's under 140, they're good. I'm like, 140? It should never go to 140, because they're diabetic if it's above 140. Okay? That's dangerous. At 2 hours later, it should be at or maybe slightly above where it started. Right? Unless you've eaten a lot of fat, maybe it slows down the absorption. It may be a little bit longer. But by 3 hours for sure, it should be baseline. And if it's not, then there's a problem. And then you may not know what the problem is right up front, but what are we detectives, right? We want to figure out what is it they're doing or eating that's causing that to go up. And it could be stress. It could be stress. Yeah, that's a great question. And I kind of just do it more. Like, I'll do it right after, and then I'll do it. The first few times I've done it, I'll do it very frequently. I've done it every 15 minutes. The first time I did it, when I was shocked when how high it went, I did it at every 5 minutes. So 10 minutes, whatever.
My question is, when did you start that? So I started eating at noon, and I didn't finish until 12:45 when I ate my salad.
Immediately at the end then. Yeah, if you're eating a meal and it only takes you 5 minutes to eat it, I like to just initially have them do it right at the end of the meal too, so you get that information about that window rather than waiting the 15 minutes. Yeah, so I would say that's why if you look here, it has right after and then 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. But you're going to, as soon as you're done eating, you do it, right? Right, and if you find that always, it's the peak is at 45 minutes after you began eating, then you tell them to take it then. If they tell you it's at 45, you just kind of look at their charts, and you don't judge, you have to get their charts so you can make the analysis. And we go through a lot of that in the insulin resistance.
Is this on?
Okay. Yeah.
If they're not eating in the morning, and a lot of people who aren't, you know, they're waking up at 7:30 but not eating till 10:30, but they're not taking any supplements or anything else, are you still having them? I know, take it right when they wake up.
Yeah, because you want to know, right? Did they get on the phone and talk to their mother and get totally stressed out and it caused their blood sugar to go up? So you just want to see what, if anything, in that time period might have caused it, because it's not just food.
Okay.
It's not just food. That's the thing. People come to me and say, well, I'm doing your damn program and I've been eating all that rabbit food and no sugar and no fruit and my blood sugar is still high.
Okay.
I wonder why.
So no matter when, like right before they eat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And if they are doing all that and it's not, they don't come to you that way. They just say, look, I'm doing this and I don't know. You go, wow, how well are you sleeping? And how are you exercising? And are you doing the burst training 8 times a day? Or are you doing it 4? Maybe you need to move it up to 6 or 8. And, I'm sleeping for 8 hours a night. Well, you might be in that sleep deprivation where you need to eat for 10. You need to sleep for 10. I said to Donna, you need a sleep vacation. We talk about this a lot in the stress part and all. And she said, what the heck? I said, 12 hours, 3 days in a row, at least. She did the 12 hours, 3 days in a row. And then she just said, I'm just going to set aside this month, and I'm just going to sleep as much as possible. That's why she said, I think I slept away most of February. But it's so restorative. I mean, they've shown, they had this one study that I shared with people in the insulin resistance program, is that this guy had this out-of-range glucose, and he, I was like, I think it was 119, so he's borderline diabetic, he was insulin resistant, and they put him on sleep, 10 hours a night of sleep. And after 3 days, his fasting glucose was in the low 90s. And so that's good. And he did that. And then two nights in a row, he only got 8.5 hours of sleep. Only 8.5 hours of sleep. The glucose started climbing up again. So, right, what are we dealing with? Everybody's individual, right? Yeah. And just to get back, and we're going to take a break in a bit, is that when you're working together in a program with me, you're going to have these things come up as you apply what you've learned, and you have clients, and you want to know, well, this client did this, and that client did that. And that's what we do on our calls. I mean, the case studies, bring up yourself as a case. But that's because as you do it, it's experience. So sometimes people ask me a question, and I'm like, I've never had that before. What do? I go back to thinking through the chemistry. You've heard me do that on calls, right, Emery? Where I go, that's interesting. So what could that be? Well, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. Let's test. Let's test and see. Let's see if it's the deficiency of the zinc, or let's see if it's because the spacing between the meals needs to be a little longer or shorter. We just work with it, and when you understand it, it helps. So I was going to, do we have time to show those adrenal things, or should we do that after? 1 minute? I'm going to quickly show you. We might go like 3 minutes over, but I don't want to get too far behind. I want to, where's my clicker? Okay, so testing adrenals. I'm going to pull up the adrenal slides. I'll just show you a couple of these. Who's ever done an adrenal stress? How do I get rid of this? I don't know how to get rid of this. Okay. All right. So this is a sample report. Who's done these before or seen these before? So fair, some of you, but not all that many. So this is the lab I like to use, Diagnostics, and I'll share with you why, but there's other labs that do it. This is cortisol. Remember we talked about cortisol, and it has a circadian rhythm. And this is what a normal curve should be. You see the green, that's the range of normal. And you see that this one falls beautifully in there, and it's just evenly in there. It's not like one is at the bottom of normal and one is at the top. And you learn to be really good at seeing the subtle things. We don't just want the obvious, your glucose is 150, you're diabetic. We want the it's this, it's that. We want the subtle stuff so we can see people in transition to going downhill. So that's a normal. This test also shows DHEA. This one's 6, which is normal, but it's low normal. Their range, from clinical experience, their range is kind of like the lab tests that you do. The range that they give you is like dead or alive kind of range. 3 is like really depleted. 2 is super depleted, but even 3. Ideally, you want that person to be 7 to 8, okay? This one's 6, so I'd say they're heading, and this is just a sample, so it's not a real person. They have a perfectly normal glucose curve, but their DHA is a little less. So remember that pregnenolone steel? There's not as much DHEA being made because we're trying to respond to stress, and even though it looks normal. And the other thing you look at on these, I'll just give you a quickie. The other thing you look at on these is the total, and we go into all the details, and you've got some information about that in your packet. So I'll go through all the packet stuff after we do a break. 30, perfect, right? It's right in the range. Their total cortisol is perfect, but sometimes you see their total cortisol for the day being perfectly fine, and their first morning one is real low, and their last morning one is real high. It adds up. So if you just use the rule of thumb that if that total falls within, their adrenals are fine, you get out of range. We spend 6 hours in an all-day class doing this to learn exactly how to do this and bring up case after case after case. But the other things I like about this one, and then we'll go to break, is that it also tests progesterone. And this is the hydroxyprogesterone that's produced in the adrenal. But it gives you, again, an idea of how long this depletion has been going on. This is normal, so it's fine, but sometimes you see it where the cortisol looks normal, but the progesterone is depressed. Then it's a matter of, well, is it depressed because the stress, or is there some other reason that it's suppressed? But it's usually the stress. And then the other one you look at is the secretory IgA, and this one is, gliadin. I missed the page. Sorry, I thought I went one page before. Now I have to use this. It's called the adrenal stress index. Okay, there's the progesterone. Secretory IgA. It was at the bottom of the page. I'll just move it up. I went too far. Okay, borderline. So this is 20. Remember we talked the other day about how stress affects the lining of the gut and the protective mucous membrane. When you see that, there's two signs in here that this person is adapted to the stress right now, but there's some stress and strain going on. So somebody might look at this test and go, oh, this person's normal. Here's where you'd put them on a preventative thing. You talk to them about their stress, and you talk to them about some adaptogens and things they can put in their smoothies and in their elixirs to help them to go down that path because they're adapted now. But I'll just give you one last quick one before we go to break. I think this one was the one. I'm just going to try to... What's that? Yeah, their range is good, yeah. I think it was this one. Nope. Must be the next one. Nope. We just have the marked case one, case two, case. There we go. What do you think of that one? You think that person's a little stressed? A little bit stressed, right? Woohoo! Where's this person going to? You think this person has a good sex drive? Probably not. You think their skin and their repair is happening well? No, probably not. Where's the next one? Where's their DHEA? We teach you the three stages, and I talk about, actually, you've got a handout that gives you a complete... analysis. Sorry, this is hard to do with. There we go. What's their DHEA? 4. Says normal, but you know, they're draining their DHEA big time. You got them keep going with whatever they're doing. Do it again in 3 to 6 months. You're going to see that DHEA way down, and that's all we'll do. I'm just going to. Yeah. Generally. These are normalized, yeah, so they're... one last thing I want to tell you about this test. If you do this test, they have gliadin antibodies in the... Does this one have it? Gliadin antibodies, which is gluten antibodies, in the saliva. If their salivary IgA is low or borderline, and they have low gliadin, it doesn't mean they don't have a gluten problem. It means they're just not making enough salivary IgA. It's not the most sensitive. You'd have to do a stool test to see. So don't trust it. Because people come back and go, wow, I'm not gluten intolerant. I don't trust it. I only use it because if it does show up and they have a low salivary IgA, man, they are super gluten intolerant. It's like a really extreme. So this is a test in your packet. I'll just give you this and then we'll go to break. There is a thing about adrenal interpretation, and it's on page... History, adrenal fatigue, where is it? Page 18. I've gone through this so many times. There's a whole thing, adrenal saliva test interpretation and example, page 18. And it goes through and explains to you the stages of adrenal fatigue. And then it has the chart and an example of how to interpret it, how to figure out what stage a person is likely in. And then there's a chart for ASI results and what stage it is. All you have to do is fill in the blanks. Okay, they had normal here, normal here, normal here. Which do they have the most ticky marks in? Oh, they're in stage 2. Now you know they're in stage 2, so you come down below and you go, okay, what are we going to do? What kind of signs and symptoms? So say they didn't want to spend the money on that test and you're just going by signs and symptoms. Again, you can stage them, not as accurately, but you can stage them there. And then the third part is insulin... it's in the other section. So we had the assessment separated. So then I'll give you the other. It's probably right after that. Page 2. Yeah, I told you, we put them alphabetically. Probably not the best idea, but we couldn't figure out what the best way to do it was. So page 2, then you've got... You can move this around when you get back there. I was just because I was presenting differently. The idea was to present them separately. Adrenal restoration protocols. There's a section for all stages. of background nutrients that you do for your adrenals. Then there's a section on all the herbs that can be helpful and ways to distinguish. And then there's the adaptogenic herbs for all stages. Those were the nutrients. So it's just all the pages, starting at page 2 all the way through. It's the longest handout in here. Through 2 to through 16. You think that will be helpful for you to sit down and understand how to look at somebody's adrenals that way and how to interpret it? Does that look helpful? Then you can go through each stage. So there's stage 1, there's some herbs, and they're described. It helps to really understand the herbs more deeply to be able to pick, but it gives you a guideline like, oh, just go to get the herb farm this formula or that formula. It's like, what herbs would really support them in the stage they're at, right? So pages 2 through 18, and you've got a lot of stuff. We go through all the details of that in the classes, and we do more stress tests. You get to bring yours and somebody else's there. So thank you.